Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Thank you for joining us on our special Christmas Eve service on Riot Podcast. You can reach us at riotpodcast.co. And I'm Pete Robertson. I'm joined by my host, Bob Schoeneman.
Merry Christmas, Pete. How are you doing today?
Merry Christmas, my brother. Barry Rice couldn't be with us today. He had something come up with his mom, so we want to keep her in prayer.
Yeah,
it's just something that, unforeseen took place, and he wasn't able to meet with us, and he wanted to be, but we are keeping his mom in prayer. But with that said, we do have a special guest today, and it's someone that we've both known for some time. And so, Bob, why don't you go ahead and introduce our special guest?
Yeah, that'd be my honor. So we have today, this guy is an amazing storyteller. He's a football coach at our local high school here in Orlando, Florida, at the Lake Nona Lions. And, 20-year veteran, retired veteran of the house that the mouse built. And hopefully he tells us some stories about that. But without any more delay, Mr. Professor Coach Mark Taunton, welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad to be here.
This guy, I'll tell you something about Coach Mark, or should we call him the professor? He, every time we're in his presence, there's not a dry moment. We are constantly laughing.
True.
And I'm telling you what, you're definitely a blessing to us. We're so happy that you're here.
I'll promise I'll keep it PG and stay out of my blue material. It's going to play 4 o'clock.
So yeah,
we can work with that.
I can imagine being a football coach. I mean, there's probably a... Some choice words that are said.
Well, you don't want to, but of course, it's something flying around. You know,
besides spit.
Yeah,
it's just colorful adjectives, Pete.
That's all it is.
It's just adjectives.
That's all it is.
Oh, that's
you
so.
You
got
to make a point. I guess that's what the whole thing. You got to make a point.
Yeah, anybody that's ever known the professor has always known him as a storyteller. And so I would say even his friends as far back knows that when you're in Mark's presence, there's always a story to tell. And one of the things that I've noticed that when he talks about his years at Disney and some of the things that he has experienced, I cannot stop listening because there's just one funny story after another. And so, Mark, we would love to hear some stories about Disney.
It. It's after 20 years. I worked outside as a valet, and then I got lucky and got inside about 10 years ago. And being outside, I've seen some crazy things, and I never forget one time I checked out a family. They had Louis Vuitton luggage. They had 6 bags, and I went in and got them. In the storage room, as I brought them out, one of our fellow valet guys like to get high during lunch. And this is around 12:30, 12:45, and I'm standing in the corner, standing there under the portiere with my guest, and I'm putting their luggage down, and I turn for a second, and in the split of my eye, as I look over, the guy's bringing a car to his guest. Well, he kind of nudged up on the sidewalk and took 4 of my 6 bags with him as he drove. They got under the car, Louis Vuitton, and he drug them about 20 feet.
Oh!
So I just told my guest, I apologize, he had a seizure. And this is a common thing, and he was high as a kite, but, that's just the way it is. And that was tough to see that happen, but those are the things... You see a lot.
You ever meet any famous people?
Michael Jackson?
So years ago when I worked outside, we had if a really major guest would come in, management security would come out, and they said this guest is coming in. So we thought it was either a vice president or a congressman. So these four white vans pulled up. And one of the vans had an older lady carrying a baby. And the second van had like 6 kids with skateboards. The third van had 4 gentlemen that weighed about 280, about 6'3", 6'4". And the fourth van, And one of the first things that was told to us was you could make eye contact and don't touch the vans. So as I'm up waiting to get a car or whatever, and this van pulls up, and I go, you know what, the heck with this. I'm just going to go help this person come out of the van because I don't know who it was.
Right.
So I go to the van, and I grab the handle, and one of these large gentlemen pretty much almost punched me in the head, told me to move away from the van. Wow. So I kind of turned my back, and I said, you know what? This, you know, I got to see who this is. So as I turn, this older person who I thought was walking backwards out of the van, and this little gentleman was about 5'2", had a white veil and an umbrella. So I'm thinking, wow, you know, that just kind of caught my eye. So as I turn, this person turned. So my nose literally was under his nose. And I said, what's happening? And all he said was, hello.
Hello.
And he shoved me to the side and was Michael Jackson.
What?
Oh, that's
so we
cool.
We touched noses. And as they walked him through the lobby, he had a full veil and I never forget this as long as I live. He had an umbrella, this little guy. And someone of the managers came out and says, we promise it's not raining in the hotel. They walked him through the hotel with this umbrella. And back then he had
an umbrella open?
Open with a white, long white veil with a baseball cap over the veil. So you know this guy's like, what is going on here?
Yeah, weird.
So when they go out, back then they had two-seater boats. And they have a video of Michael Jackson driving one of these boats in the little, this boat, and the little 5'2" gentleman's hanging on the back holding Michael Jackson's hat.
Oh my gosh.
It's on Michael Jackson's head. And he's zooming around the lake.
How tall was Michael Jackson?
He was probably around 6'3".
Oh,
he looked
really
tall. He was very skinny. Look, wow. I'm short, so he was very skinny.
Yeah,
but it was, you know, I mean,
but his 5'2" guy was his.
He was his guy,
right hand man,
Girl Friday. Yeah,
his Girl Friday.
So, but I mean, in 20 years, you get to see good stuff.
Did he tip you well?
No,
he didn't tip you well.
No, he didn't tip me at all. No.
What? Nobody tipped you?
I've been stiffed by some of the better ones.
Or tell us some.
No.
Have you ever seen Bruce Willis or Demi Moore?
I saw, when I was at the Animal Kingdom, I probably saw more people at Animal Kingdom than anywhere.
It's weird.
I saw the guy who made Sixth Sense with his wife and kid.
Bruce Willis?
No.
You mean the kid?
The guy who produced it.
I know who you're talking
whatever.
About.
Whatever. He was there, and I saw John Ritter there. And one day, this van pulls up, and the doors fly open, and a lady climbs out, and it was Mickey Rooney.
Huh.
And all he did was, like, wave at us. Like, he was supposed to wave to us. We all waved at him. But about almost 1 o'clock one night at Animal Kingdom, we're about to shut down, and these two vans pulled up, and Demi Moore was in the front.
At 1 o'clock in the morning?
1 o'clock. They had just got out of the hotel. Got from the airport to the hotel, and she had all three of those girls with her. They were still young, and she was in one van, and all I remember was she was smoking cigarettes like a fiend. She was just like one after the other. So she's standing here, and then the other van pulls up, and this girl gets out, and this guy gets out. And at first I'm thinking, I didn't pay any attention to him. I realized it was Bruce Willis. So he sat there and rapped with me for, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes.
How tall is he?
He was shorter than I was.
Yes. Oh.
But all he was saying was make sure he had just bought new camera equipment, so be careful with it. So he tipped us well, you know, and then when we left that Sunday, I was in line, I was up, and I'm standing there, and Demi Moore walked. I never forget, the front of the hotel was packed, hundreds of people, because they were getting ready to go home, and the bus was dropping people off to go in the park, and it was just so much going on. And she asked me, she goes, can you help us go to our van? Our van's parked right over there. And I go, yeah, sure. You know, I have a problem with that. She goes, wait a minute. He's got to get ready.
Who's he?
Bruce Willis. Huh. And I'm thinking, okay, what's he going to do? So he puts on a hat, and he started walking with a really bad limp. And then he hooked his arm kind of strange, and he put his other hand on my shoulder. And I'm thinking, this is so surreal because I'm bumping into people.
Yeah.
And not one person knew that Bruce Willis was standing there. And he walked all the way to the...
Right through the middle.
Right through the middle. Not one person noticed it. He gets in the van.
Wow.
And I'm standing there like, you know, this is like a dream. And I look at him and he just like waves at me. And I wave back at him. He drives off. So that was interesting.
That's fascinating.
I would think that they would do that probably a lot if they're trying to avoid
he's got this whole...
That's clever.
He's got this whole bit. So obviously this is not the first time he's done it. But like then I've seen guys like... When I checked in Robert Plant, you guys might know who Robert Plant is. I doubt anybody out there knows who Robert Plant is. But he's the lead singer for Led Zeppelin. And when I was a kid, he was like... He was a cat's meow. He was the man. He was the man.
Yeah.
And I get on the elevator with him, and I go, I seen you in 1970s. I think it was 76, 77. He goes, oh, I remember you. So the first thing he asked me when he got out of the van, you know what he asked me? He goes, where's the closest Walmart? That's all he wanted to know.
Wow.
Led Zeppelin. Guy's amazing.
Got to go to Walmart.
He wanted directions to Walmart.
And what hotel was that?
Contemporary.
Oh.
But then, like, when Howie Mandel came in one time, he was all... He had a hat and mask on, and he would come up to you and shoot water in your face. And then he was recording you. He had a camera in his hat. So I guess he was doing it for, you know, attention's sake.
I met Howie Mandel. I was coming back from Morocco one time, and I was at the airport, and I'm coming down, and I look to the left, and I have my wife and their kids are holding signs, and they're going all this, and Howie Mandel is right there in front of me greeting me as I'm coming off the elevator. And he doesn't touch anybody, but that was my meeting of Howie Mandel. How you doing?
Yeah, back then he was like, he was doing it, but you could tell it was something he had in his pocket. So when he mashed it, water would spray in your face.
That's
funny.
And
he was recording you. Out of everything I've ever done, though, there, and I've got to see, I got to see a lot of people. The craziest thing I ever saw in my life to this day, we had a guy who worked there. He always had terrible luck. But he walked. He worked 6 to 2:30 every day, and he's parking employee parking lot, and he was. And this gentleman's passed. Now he passed away a couple years ago, and he was walking to his car, and he came back, and he was almost in tears. And he goes, "Something happened really bad. You're not gonna believe what happened." So we all got on the cart, went out there to his cart. Well, a bald eagle had caught a largemouth bass. It probably weighed about 6 pounds. And as he flew over, he dropped the fish. It landed in his windshield and took his whole windshield out.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
And the fish was laying on the dashboard.
Wow.
Hit the thing.
Wow.
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. That was one of the craziest things
I've
ever
seen. That's a heavy fish.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
That was crazy.
Bob, have you ever met a celebrity? Have you ever had that opportunity?
I'm trying to think. Face to face. Who was the guy... That was with, he was in not open house, but remember that show that was in San Francisco? Totally drawing a blank. Like, really attractive guy. Yeah, Full House, thank you.
John Bob Stamos. Saget?
No, not that, the other guy.
Oh, John Raymond?
Yeah, we met him. Crystal and I were in Vegas for a convention, or for a bowling tournament, and... We were just going to the gift shop. And
he says, standing, have mercy all
he's
the time.
He's standing in the gift shop. And Crystal's like, there he is. I'm like, well, go say hi to him. And she wouldn't do it. And even to this day, we talk about it every once in a while. She's like, man, I wish I had the courage to just go up and say hi, right? So that was cool. Politician-wise, I met Kennedy. Not Jay.
Bobby.
Not Bobby.
Teddy.
Teddy. In Washington, D.C. In fifth grade, I was on a patrol, and we took the train up to D.C. And our bus driver had a connection or whatever, so he just came out. He stopped the bus. We all got and sat on this.
Were you close enough to smell him?
It was, well, here's the joke. So if you guys know, my dad was a big-time Democrat, and so I was always egging him on, and I was a Reagan fan, and so that was kind of the joke. So I told him when I got home about the story. And I'm like, you know, it happened so quick, I didn't even get a shot off. So, but, you know, I meant pictures, you know, take a picture of him. So nothing sinister there.
I heard he smelled like smoke.
I didn't get close enough to him to see that. It was 50 of us, and he was talking to the whole group.
Here's my Kennedy story. When they had a Democratic, like, gathering at the convention center at the hotel. And this limo, this place was packed, and this limo comes driving through, and the door opened. And a foot came out. And the foot was dragging on the ground, and his shoe fell off.
This is, oh yeah.
And when all of a sudden the limo dropped, and this beautiful woman, I guess was his wife, jumps out of the car and runs around and grabs his shoe and puts it on his foot. Well, you don't know who it was. And then I'm standing there watching, and it was Ted Kennedy decided to get out a little early, I guess.
Oh, my. Was this up like near Chappaquiddick?
Close. This was about, I don't know how long he's been going. He's been going a long time.
It's been a while now. Yeah.
But I guess he decided to get out of the car and was still going. But his foot was flopping. But my greatest political story was I valeted Jesse Jackson and then the other guy. Who's the other guy?
The preacher? The other?
Yeah.
I
just went brain dead.
Yeah, I can picture him.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But Jesse, it'll
come to me later.
Yeah, it'll come to me.
I wish I could.
When the show's over.
But one of the, right. the guy who I don't remember his name, he tipped me. So when Jesse Jackson came in, the guy didn't tip me. And I look at the guy and I go, hey, that guy over there, whatever his name was there, he tipped me. And the guy goes, here's my tip. Have a great day.
Well, you were talking about Bruce Willis earlier. So how about we segue into what is your favorite Christmas movie? Learn again. This is kind of like a learn a little bit of.
Are you saying
Professor
Die Hard
Tom.
Should be it?
Yeah, well, there's an argument, right? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? What's your favorite Christmas movie?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, awesome!
Because if you really look at the big picture, when that movie was made in 46, 44, 45, it could still be the same life lessons,
sure.
today than it was in the 40s. Same, it was no different. Same vibe, you know, this from beginning to end.
Makes me want to watch it again.
It does.
You know, mm-hmm. it's
I haven't seen it in forever.
My favorite movie is a little bit deeper than that.
Die Hard?
It's a toss-up between Elf and Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, there you go.
I watched Christmas Vacation at lunch today.
That is funny. We tried to do a Christmas Vacation once. So we got, our neighborhood had a contest, and I mean, we spent
lying. Lights, light-wise?
No, we spent probably $10,000 that year on Christmas stuff. And we had a huge front yard. I mean, it was big. And so we did it, and we dressed it all up, and we turned on those lights, and we had to do all that, and it was like, but
awesome.
It wasn't as much as Chevy Chase, but we won. We were the best whatever in the whole thing.
Well, that's important.
Yeah, and they gave us a little candy cane or something.
14 grand.
We spent 10 grand on stinking this. And then that. But that was back in the days. That was a little stupid. So, Mark, what is a... tell us a little bit about how did you come to know the Lord and a little bit about that. I mean, we would love to hear that story a little bit.
When I was about 15... I went to church with an old Southern Baptist church. My pastor was Brother Kelly, and he had said about 350 in the congregation and big brick church. And it actually caught on fire and burnt down as I got old. You know, I get a little bit older and rebuilt the church. But he was the kind of pastor that he would be just cooking in a sermon, and he would pimp if you would sit there and like put your hand. Well, chew gum. If he saw you chewing gum, he'd stop mid-sermon and go spit the gum out. And Bob. And it was like he knew everybody. He hit a vibe with everybody in the church because we all... And my uncle was a deacon. So I asked my uncle, can I get baptized? I think it was around 15. And he said, sure, you know. I talked to my folks. My folks didn't go to church. My mom was the most religious person in my life. Never stepped foot in church until she passed away.
Well,
but she was the most giving, loving, non-racist woman living in Alabama that I've known and will ever know. But she never stepped foot in church because the church would not allow different people to come to church. I never forget is when she passed, four African-American ladies came up to me, and I've known them for all my life, and she goes, Mr. Marks, she goes, they still call you, Mr. Marks, she goes, can we come to your mom's funeral? And I go, absolutely. She goes, well, we can't. We have to sit on the back row. And I go, no, you come sit with us. So even then, that was 1991, wow. You know, but that's why I was away from it for a long time. And, I went back, started going back to church and celebration and got really involved, Teresa and I, with the kids. And it imploded, the church did. So we took another break. And then about 3 years ago, I started going to Barry. I saw Barry a couple times, Barry's church. And we tried churches in Lake Nona. And we decided, we heard Rodney on Christmas Eve. That's the first night we went.
He's talking about Rodney from the pastor of Rethink Life Church.
Yeah. So we saw Pastor Rodney and went home. And so I told Teresa and I said, let's start going back. So we started going back. And I'm still a neophyte when it comes to this stuff, but God putting me in touch with Pete and you and Josh and Lino and those guys and Gustavo, it's like I needed that, you know, because my line of work is a hard line of work. I mean, what I do and in coaching football, and I work for a godly man. Diso is an extremely godly man. So it just went, and I started doing, getting better and believing. I got baptized again about 5 years ago, and I pray at home, and I can pray now with you guys, which is all new. And it's a learning. It is. It's just, I'm a student. I guess that's what, that's what we do. We learn.
We're just happy that you're here with us, and it's exciting, and we're just hearing a little bit about your story and just sharing it with the world. Let's just kind of change pace here a little bit. So today's, we're going to talk a little bit about the birth of Jesus. We're going to read his story a little bit later. And last week, we talked about some hard subjects like the fetal tissue cells and should a Christian take the vaccine and the mark of the beast. But we're going to kind of make it a little bit different this time. So we're going to answer some questions. We're going to give a few of our opinions. We're not going to, we might not be as truth or as factual, I should say. We'll always be truthful from our opinion standpoint. But we're going to kind of just cover a little bit. But one of the topics that I've heard is they are going to try to, I think, move towards trying to force people to take this vaccine. And I know there's some people out there like, I don't want to take it. What if I don't want to take it? And they're going to make me, in order to have this, to go to work, I'm going to have to take it. And should I? And what should I do? And so that is a real, concern that people have. And so I think let's just open this part up with that kind of statement. People can always request. One thing I've learned is people can all from past vaccines. People can request exemptions based off of medical reasons and religious reasons. Do you think that's going to be the case now, Bob, or where do you think this is going?
Yeah, I think that'll still be the case. But there certainly seems to be a push for mandatory vaccinations. And so here's my concern with that. I mean, if the vaccination is really as good as they say it is, do we even need to make it mandatory? I mean, won't people line up to get it?
Right.
I mean, so that's my concern.
Why do we have to force anybody?
Yeah, anytime you start forcing people, and maybe it's just Americans in general, we don't, as a rule, like to be told what to do. We would rather have
choice.
You give us the facts,
yes,
and tell us the good and the bad and the benefits of doing something. And I'm one of those guys that trust that people are probably most of the time going to do the right thing. And maybe that's naive, but that's just kind of where I stand. Anytime you start telling people that they're going to have to do something, you're going to get an automatic kind of pushback from a good percentage of the population. So I think just even by trying to mandate something, you're automatically going to lose 20-30% of the population just because they don't like to be told what to do.
And I think in today's environment, that pushback, I think, might be even bigger.
It might be. Yeah. And in fact,
Civil War bigger.
Joe Biden had a post last week that said something about, wearing a mask is the most, patriotic thing you can do. And then his next sentence is talking about mandating everybody wear masks. Well, there's nothing patriotic about a mandate, right?
No.
You know, if a patriotic is something that, you know, you just feel and something that you do because it's the right thing to do, not because you're being forced.
Because you
to
have
do.
Freedom to make a choice to do the right
that's
thing.
That's exactly right. Freedom. Yeah. There's the word. There's the word.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
Because when we were kids, you know, they did the booster, the gun.
Right. Yeah, for polio.
For polio, and they didn't tell us what was in it. They had it could have been 100 different things. We would never know it. And I guarantee you, if you're my age, or in the last 10 years of my age, you have this place on your arm, and it's still there, even to this day, it's still there. So, you could definitely tell kids who were growing that age. But it's like the flu shot. You know, it's I think the flu shot we decipher between 60% and 75% doable. It doesn't make a difference if you take it. You still might get the flu.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm one though. In my opinion, I'm taking a vaccine. If anything else, they can use me. I always use the, when Teresa or somebody puts something down first as a meal, I always say I'm going to test it for poison to make sure it doesn't kill anybody. Well, that's the same way. This is my, but I feel like I want to do it.
Yeah, I think Barry said that he's going to wait and see, or was that you? No, that was Barry. Mm-hmm. Barry said that he's going to wait and see what happens with Mark, and then he, you know, he'll decide then.
I'm on the same boat. I'm going to see what happens to Mark. I mean, if limbs start falling off, I'm probably not.
If I have a hand
it.
Growing out of my head, then I go, well, you know what? I might not take it.
Horns start growing out of your forehead.
But I mean, I've heard that you could take it, and then 3 to 6 months later, you can possibly get COVID again. So, I mean, it's like, I mean, where is this going? I mean, is there something more to this than just what it says?
Well, I mean, think about it, too, that, you know, HIV is still here. And that was, what, 20 years ago when Magic?
Yeah, that was the 80s, right? Yeah, it was
the 80s, I think. So, you know, and Magic, when he got it, it was like, oh, you know, but it's still there. It's still with us.
Right.
You know, same with the flu. It's still with us. So it could be one of those things where it's just a, for the rest of, you know, our kids and grandkids, they have to deal with it, you know?
So back to the question, though. So should a person quit their job if an employer forces them to take the vaccine and they don't want to do it? What should a person do?
Man, I think that's really where the decisions are going to start getting tough, I think. You know, just today, if you're like, well, I'm going to take it or I'm not going to take it, that's one thing. But because it's based on your health, you know, you may be 35 and in fit shape and you don't have any, you know, friends or relatives that are, you know, in a dangerous situation. You're like, ah, there's no reason for me to take it. Even if I catch COVID, it's... You know, it's probably not going to be a big deal. You know, 99.7% of the people live through it, and I'll just take my chances, right? Because there's just so little risk. But now what happens if that same 35-year-old is, say he's a pilot for Delta Airlines, and Delta says,
right,
if you don't get the vaccine,
right,
you don't fly for us.
Right. Because Qantas has already come out and said they're going to do
so
that.
Now that's a whole different situation and scenario.
Legalities is...
So, I mean, it's going to be tough. And I think, first of all, we got to give people grace. They've got to, you know, whether it's a decision of faith or a decision of economics or a decision of politics, whatever it is, I think everybody's going to have to make that decision on their own. For me, I'm just going to, you know, I don't know. I'm still in the I don't know category.
Kind of goes back to our show last week when we talked about, you know, we really need to just seek the Lord in this.
Exactly right. And that's what I'm going to do when I get to that point. But I could face that thing. I mean, I sell real estate for a living. What happens if the NAR decides everybody, you know, to keep your real estate license, you get the vaccine? I mean, I don't know that they would do that, but it wouldn't shock me if they did. And then that kind of changes, you know, the whole balance of it. But so it goes back to, you know, we talked about some conspiracy theories last week, and I don't believe that the vaccine is made from aborted babies, and I don't believe it's the mark of the beast, but I do have concerns. I mean, we talked briefly about this last week, that, you know, until this vaccine, it used to take 8 to 10 years on average to get a vaccine. This one is being rolled out to market by at least 4 different companies, I believe, in record time, in 8 months, 9 months. I mean, we had politicians 4 months ago basically mocking the president, saying when he said that he would have a vaccine available to us by the end of the year. And, they're just mocking him and saying, well, that's not going to happen. That would take a miracle. Well, it's here. It's rolled out. I mean, it's. I saw people on TV yesterday getting
I think it's water.
The vaccine.
It's all 50 states.
Pete thinks it's water.
Yeah.
True. You know, other people think it's a microchip that's going to track your every movement. And I did hear there was a test in Australia where they had to stop the test because people were coming up with HIV positive test results when they were being tested. So not to say that the vaccine was giving them HIV, but they were getting positive reads when being tested. So I don't know what's in it. I don't know the reaction. I'm a little concerned that it didn't go through animal testing. And I know my friends at PETA are not going to be happy with me on that. But, you know, if it's between a ferret and my daughter, I'm going to pick the ferret. So, I think things that are this important, we should probably test on animals. So that's kind of where I'm at. And that, so the timeline, the fact that they didn't test on animals concerned me a little bit. But now that they're going to test it on Coach Mark, yes, I'll feel much better here in a little while. And don't forget, you got to get two shots. I think maybe all of them, or maybe three of the four, or something like that. They're multiple shot.
I think one of them is vaccine. One or something.
Only one's a one shot
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
So it's a two shot deal, and it doesn't sound like they even know if it's going to how long it's going to last. It may be like the flu shot, where you're going to have to get COVID vaccine every year. Who knows?
I mean, but there's some people out there that believe that if you don't do the shot, then you're like risking other people. And they're saying that it's almost like, it's wouldn't it be godlike or Christian-like to take the shot so that you are being, you're protecting yourself from, getting it and spreading it to other people.
I think that's a valid argument, but I read an article yesterday where they're not sure that people that have the vaccine aren't going to still be able to transmit the virus. In fact, it could be worse, because they have the vaccine, they're not going to have any symptoms. They're going to be asymptomatic and can pass the disease along without even knowing it. So, that's kind of crazy. So what we're hearing recently is, even with the vaccine, even with, getting under control, masks are going to stay, social distancing is going to stay. And, I heard maybe it was the governor of New York, I think it was Cuomo, saying maybe it's going into 2022 now. I mean, so that's a lot of unknown for, something that's 13 months away, especially when you can come up with a vaccine in 8 months.
Yeah, that's why I think that there's just more to this than just this vaccine. There's just so much happening, I think, behind the scenes. It's, I sense the government trying to control us. They're trying to, shut down businesses. They're trying to do different things that it just brings oppression. It brings fear. It brings all these things. And when this stuff starts happening, or when we start seeing it as Christians, as the body of Christ, our response to that is just to surrender ourselves to the Lord and draw near to Him, because ultimately He is the only one that can bring that peace, that hope, that understanding. He brings wisdom, He brings knowledge, He brings the truth with this subject, because ultimately if you are forced to take this vaccine because of work, if you come to that thing, ultimately you're going to have to surround yourself with believers that can pray with you and to stand with you. And more importantly, you need to get before the Lord to really seek Him in truth, because what my truth might be might not be your truth. Maybe the Lord convicts me and says, no, I want you to quit your job. But maybe the Lord doesn't convict you on that. Maybe you're completely fine with taking the vaccine. And we are okay with that. We accept that. As long as we do the due diligence, we want to work through it. That's why we talked about the vaccine last week and the fetus cell and also the mark of the beast. I mean, those are big ones that people really wanted to know about. We put that rest that fear to rest a little bit.
I think so.
But moving forward with this question, I think that's seriously, we need to just really surrender it to the Lord and really seek Him and find peace in what God is telling you. And if the Lord is saying, hey, you should just quit, and then God's going to open a door. If God's leading you, then God will open a door at another place for you to have a place of work. And if the Lord is saying no, but don't let fear Yes. Don't let fear be the driver behind it. Don't let that be why you're not doing that. Just really have peace in that. And I think that's the best advice we can give, right?
I completely agree.
Yeah. But Mark, any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, obviously it's going to have side effects, you know, but if it's just like when you get a flu shot, you can have the redness of the swelling in your arm when you get it, same kind of thing. You know, the only thing that I think they're concerned with is if you do the two shot step, they're afraid that after the people take the first shot, they won't go back and get the second one. So that could be I think there were issues with that. But it's like Pete said, it's, you got to have faith in it.
Yeah, well, I can tell you something's, I mean, you're going to have people take the first shot and then get COVID.
Yeah.
And then so those stories will start coming out and then people will be like, oh, we're getting COVID because we got the first shot. Like, no, you just weren't immune yet.
Yeah.
And you happen to come in contact with somebody that had the virus. Absolutely. In the middle. So I guarantee that happens over the next few weeks and you're going to see people, you know, screaming from the mountaintops that, the shot gives you COVID. I don't believe that for a second. My concerns are just the time it took or the lack of time it took to get this thing to market. And there's no way of knowing the side effects. It hasn't really been tested. You know, what if getting immune from COVID weakens your immune system for something that's more dangerous than COVID? You know, things like that are what scare me.
What if somebody wanted to study more on the clinical trials? Where could they find that, Bob? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, the CDC has lots of stuff. I would recommend, say you just want to learn more about COVID. Whatever you type in the Google search button, I recommend doing it in a couple different sources. And the reason to do that is you'll be surprised at the different results that you get. And I think it helps give you a broader...
Give an example.
DuckDuckGo. So yesterday I was getting ready for this podcast and doing my research. I searched Google and then I used the exact same search criteria in DuckDuckGo and got completely different results. So I used them both. I read over the stuff that Google fed me, and I read over the stuff that DuckDuckGo sent me. And you can use any search engine, but I would use Google, and then I would use one that's not owned by Google, just so you get different results. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not telling you that Google is trying to control what you read, but they are.
Yeah, they are.
So I would recommend doing that, and then don't just take one source and just run with it. You know, I read, man.
They can research, if they searched Google search word FDA COVID-19 vaccine approval, that will give them the clinical trials.
Yes, that's good.
So
that's really
would be something with that. Well, bottom line is FDA says that you can never eliminate any uncertainty, just reduce it.
So all uncertainty, right?
Right. Yeah. So when people ask the question, is it absolutely safe? Their answer is no, nothing is absolutely safe. So with that said, are you guys going to take the vaccine? So we kind of already talked about that.
The
right?
million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Mark's going to take it. Bob's still waiting.
Mark
was
an absolute yes.
Bob's waiting.
Barry's
Barry was
waiting.
An absolute no, I think.
Yeah, he's waiting.
He's waiting. And I'm definitely in the wait and see. I'm not going to go line up today to take it, but that doesn't mean I won't take it.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat as Bob. And so I'm just, I'm indifferent with that. I don't have fear. I don't have worry behind one way or the other with it. I'm completely at peace. And if the Lord shares with me and tells me that I'm supposed to take it, then I'll take it. And if he says not to, then I'm fine. And so I'm just taking this one day at a time and one moment at a time. And as it goes, it goes.
I'll take one for the team.
Yeah, you do that. We'll watch.
Our guinea pig.
We'll have you come over for dinner. We'll watch afterwards and see how it goes. With that said, that there is something that is absolutely safe.
What's absolutely safe, Pete?
That just goes back to what we're all here for, and that is to talk about the author and finisher of our life, and that's Jesus. And last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of Jesus in the birth, and it is a huge deal that he literally, because of what he did, absolutely altered everything. And we would be remiss if we did not talk about that here on Christmas Eve. And so let's go ahead and read that story. Let's just go into Luke 2, verse 1 through 20. And Bob, would you mind reading that for us? And we could just talk about that.
Yeah, that'd be my honor. If you're not driving, you know, if you're in a place where you can grab your Bible or grab your Bible app off your phone. Kind of follow along with me. I think this will be fun.
We're in the ESV version.
So, yeah, we're going to read Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20 in the ESV. So I'll just give you a second to get there. If you're driving, please don't do this. That would not be wise. Just listen along with us. If you're parents, I suggest reading this to your kids tonight as they go to bed on Christmas Eve.
That's awesome.
And just kind of give them a reminder of what Christmas is all about. So here we go. Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world shall be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, easy for me to say, was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. Can you imagine? And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them in heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Oh. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told to them. Wow.
That was powerful. You know, we read that, and how many times have many of us have heard this story many times in our past? And, you know, every time that I read it, I always go to, what is the significance of this? This is kind of where I'm at, is what is this good news? Why are they rejoicing? Why are they, you know, celebrating this birth? And I think a lot of us kind of know, because, you know, we have salvation and so forth, but really, what is the significance? Any thoughts to that, Bob?
I always go back to that song, you know, "Mary, Did You Know?" And man, she did. She was the one that absolutely knew, right? I listened to the pastor, I think it was Pastor Barry this Sunday, was talking about really bringing out the story of Mary. And man, can you imagine being, I mean, it's hard, I can't imagine being a teenage girl, period, but imagine being a teenage girl and having the angel of the Lord come before you and say, you have been chosen, you know, you are highly favored, and you are going to carry the Savior of the world in your womb, and just all of what that meant, and the sacrifices that she had to make. Think about the look on her parents' face when she told them, you know, the look on her fiancé's face, you know, "Hey, Joe, by the way, I'm pregnant." You know, can you imagine just what this girl had to go through?
Yeah.
And man, and then just go to
so
Bethlehem.
Was she rejoicing though? So, I mean, think about it. So here,
good question.
So, I mean, let's just start from the beginning. We talked about this two, three episodes ago. It's, you know, God created man to fellowship with him, mm-hmm. you know, so man sinned, man turned his back against God, and man continued to sin and continued to turn his back against God, and God continued to pursue man. And so by pursuing man, He was saying, I want to forgive you. I want to shower you with grace. I want to give you an opportunity to come to know who I am. And so he set up all of these standards. He showed the Israelites how to walk holy. He showed them how to separate themselves from the rest of the world. He gave them all the blueprint to be able to live a life that's pleasing to God. Because again, God's a good God. God loves us. It's not that he's not pursuing us. You see, people think, oh, he's a bad God or whatever. No, God's constantly coming after us. He's constantly trying to find us. And so all of a sudden, God says, you know what? I'm going to now start change time. I'm going to reset what was wrong from the very beginning. And so he then says, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send him as a baby. I'm going to send him into the world to do this. And so when that happened, the angels rejoiced. The shepherds rejoiced. The world has joy. The things are changed. What was once lost is now found in Jesus. What was once blind can now see. What was once going to hell for all eternity can now come into eternal life with Jesus. He changed everything. And because of his birth, he then lived out a perfect life to give us the example, to show us exactly how we too can live this perfect life on earth. He showed us, he gave us all of the examples in the Gospels. And so this birth is so huge that people that are living their world today, they have no idea. They look at this and they say, oh yeah, it's a religion. We go to church. We know about Jesus, his birth, whatever. They have no idea. It saves them from hell.
Yeah.
They have no idea what Jesus did. Saves them from death for all eternity. They just don't believe it. And anybody that has fully accepted the virgin birth and fully accepted what Jesus did and understood the significance of that, and they lived their life, they believed in him, and they gave their life to him, their life was transformed. Romans 12 says this. They become a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that. They start seeing that, they start looking at things differently. They start experiencing things differently. And that's what Jesus does. He completely changes a person's life. If you had a bad habit, or you've had things that have happened in your past that have caused chaos and hurt and pain, Jesus restores that. Jesus makes things new. And so when I think about this Luke 2:1-20, and I start reading and seeing that these angels were rejoicing and that there was a party going on, it just encourages my heart when I read it. It brings me back to that day. It brings me back, and I start meditating on it, and I just say, God, thank you. I owe you everything. I give my life to you because you gave your life for me. You pursued me so that I could have life. You never gave up on me. And so that's kind of what I see in this. And so thoughts on that, guys?
Well, first of all, I just love your passion, Pete. I love it when you talk when you're talking about your Savior. It's so refreshing. So my thoughts, the God of the universe put himself in the most vulnerable position possible, right? A baby that absolutely can't take care of itself. It just, you talk about religion and other religions and, you know, other gods, lowercase g. And I mean, who would do that? What other God would do that? Would come into time? God is, you know, outside of time and space, and, you know, for us, because he wanted to make a way for us to get back to him, comes into time, comes into space, and erases basically the mistakes of Genesis 3, or doesn't erase it, but makes a way back to him. You guys watch Mandalorian? You know, this is the way?
Yeah.
Well, this is the way, and it's the only way.
That's it. Mark, thoughts?
It's what I like about this is I'm sitting here watching two gentlemen who are very intelligent when it comes to this. And your heart's full and you're full of faith. And I'm glad God has put me in a position to be sitting here watching two gentlemen riff with like this.
Yeah.
All improvise. You know, you kind of like, it's just flowing.
Yeah.
And I've been with Pete, and like Bob said, long enough to know when Pete's probably one of the most knowledgeable men I've ever met that can just go. And that's a blessing.
Yeah, we start talking about Jesus, man.
It's real.
I'm sitting here watching you two and going, okay, it's like,
it's very awesome. Cool. God is so good.
Well, with that, you know, I just pray that there's people out there that go to a candlelight service tonight. If you're listening to this in the morning, go find a church and just be a part of that fellowship. And again, if you're looking for a church, you know, go onto our website, riotpodcast.co, and there's on the resource page at the bottom, you can click on that, and there's a section there where you can search for a local church and see if they're meeting tonight. And then there's some of you out there that might have heard what I said earlier, and maybe the Lord spoke to you. Maybe you were wanting to give your life to the Lord. Maybe you were wanting to, maybe you saw this, the big picture that what Jesus did with this birth. And maybe maybe you want to have that time to just say, God, forgive me. Maybe you're asking him to come into your life. Maybe you want to know for sure that when you die, that you'll go to heaven. You know, the Bible says that when you confess before man, that you would be confessing before him and the Father in heaven, and that if you deny before man, that you're going to be denying before him in heaven. And I believe that if you give your life to the Lord right now, and you surrender that to him, that and then you pick up the phone call and you call somebody, you let us know that you confess that you gave your life to the Jesus, I believe that all the angels in the heaven will rejoice. I believe that this is the opportunity that you can have that right now. The Bible says that all the angels in heaven rejoice when one gives their life to the Lord. It's that big of a deal. And so if you would like to do that, just say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I just thank you that you are God, and I believe that you are God. And I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, that you would make me new right now. I know, God, that by believing in you, I am set free from my past, from my present, and from my future sins. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for being born and showing us the way. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And so if you gave your life to the Lord, we would love to hear about, like we said, there's on our website, riotpodcast.co. You can, there's a section on there called Know God. Click on that section on Know God, and at the very bottom of it, it asks if you gave your life to the Lord. Click yes, fill that out, and we would love to send you a Bible. We would love to send you some information that can help with further your faith. Also on our website, there's a section called Common Questions. And so there's a lot of questions that people have in reason why. Like, is there hypocrites in church? And there's a lot of different questions. The answer is yes. I'm one of them. And if you go, you are too. But you can go onto the website at riotpodcast.co, enter the Common Questions section, and those will help walk you through some of the questions if you're still searching and looking for Jesus. But today's awesome podcast. What's you guys' thoughts? Any last bark? We're just so blessed you came on. And any last thoughts on that?
I just want to say thanks for inviting me. It was fun. Maybe again in the future, but just watching you two work is a blessing.
We're just blessed by you.
I'm glad I know you.
Yeah, me too.
Bob, Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure doing this with you. And you have lots of kind words, but honestly, you bless me all the time. Every time we're together, you're always making me laugh. You're just an amazing storyteller, and you influence kids on a daily basis.
Yes.
So you have an amazing platform. You have an amazing opportunity to pour into young people every single day. And I just thank God for you that you're in that opportunity, and that you take it seriously, and that you're constantly growing in your faith. And man, you're an amazing man. And I'm proud to be a friend of yours. And Mark listed a bunch of people earlier today in the podcast, and it was his life group. So it's just amazing. These are the people that he does his life with.
Amen.
So surround yourself with people that can make you better. And I think that's the message that Mark was trying to tell you.
Amen.
So guys, we just appreciate you so much. We thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast. We pray that it just makes a difference. We pray that you know, there's something that we said just touches you. The Holy Spirit uses something that we said that just kind of just points you into a stronger relationship with Him, because that's really what we're here for. Love God and love people. And man, I just want to give you a couple ways to reach out to us. Our Facebook page is Facebook/ The Riot Podcast. We would love to hear from you. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, that would just blow us away if you'd share that with us. Share pictures with us. You know, maybe pictures of you listening to the podcast, or, you know, whatever. Just be creative with it. Be fun with it. We're going to share pictures on there as well of our faces made for radio. And we'll put some of that on there so you can see what we look like, or you can check out the website. And, man, we're just trying to have... We're trying to have fun with this, but if it doesn't make a difference in people's lives, then there's no reason for us
null
to
and
do
void.
It. So, yeah, exactly right. So that's really why we're doing it. And lastly, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Enjoy the time with your families. Whether you're doing, 2020 is just weird, right? So, you know, if your Christmas dinner is through Zoom, then so be it. Just make the best of it and pass the gravy.
Yeah.
But don't let the opportunity to not reach out to your family and the people you love just because maybe you're separated. So find creative ways. If you're blessed enough to be with the people, man, just cherish that time.
Amen.
And we love you guys.
This time has flown by, right?
Yes. Can you believe it?
I know. You're saying goodbye, and I don't want to.
I know. We have... You know what's crazy? We only have one more podcast left to the year.
I cannot believe it.
So you guys got to tune in next week.
Yeah,
the last podcast of the year. Maybe we can do some predictions for 2021. That might be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
So, man, guys, we love you. Take care. Make sure you share, like, you know the routine, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace out.
Peace.
Bye.
This has been The Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of The Riot Podcast.